Blog Talk Radio.
Baby.
something make my high come down. I can't eat, I can't sleep at times. I think I'm going out of my mind. I feel the voices inside of my head, seeing shadows at the foot of my bed. Tell me, what can I do to remedy the upset blues?
Sometimes blindness finds me and leads me through ignorance, not allowing us to gain experience, so we become lifeless. At other times I couple with self-pity and walk aimlessly through reality, so occasionally I choose to travel alone, but never fulfill my possibilities, so mostly I attempt to achieve balance by seeking right knowledge and loving and reviewing and eventually overstanding those many lessons of my life.
You got me caught in a starry-eyed world of dreams, and I dare to see
from love. I'm trying to figure out where I know you from.
Was it a dream or reality?
Anyway, it's beautiful as this autumn day. My breath is gone, worse than aid. You can tell me that it meant rain, 'cause not too long after that, maybe we were holding hands, thinking about our future. We were destined to make it. See, life gives us paths to choose from, and I'm afraid we didn't choose the right one. I remember like it was yesterday. Love in September was formed as a summer day. They said we would make it.
Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 50 Radio Universe Presents War Council. This is our show on toxic interactions, relationships, and sex. My name is Mojave. I'm your host for this evening and the chief mischief maker of many things, including this podcast. This is a egalitarian, conscious, creative council of community members that come together and discuss issues. If you want to participate, you know, you have a question, you may hit me directly in my inbox under my name, which is Mojave, M-O-J-A-V-I. Last name, Emi, E-M-I. You can send me a question directly. If you know me personally, you can text me a message. Or you can talk to anybody from Epiphany Radio. Make sure that you talk to us to get us the question. You can also answer questions or put questions on the event page so that we can deal with it fair and equitably. Now, for everybody who's in War Council, please make sure that you press 1 so that I see you, so that I can bring you up. All right, and so if I see you on here, make sure that you press 1 so we know that you're here so we can activate you and get everything else. The people who I called in, if you are having difficulty, hit me directly. I will bring you into the studio, and there it goes. Now, tonight's show is about toxic interactions, relationships, including sex, family bonds, trauma bonds. We're going to talk about it all. It's going to be a great deal of transparency, a great deal of things are happening, but it can only happen by the people we're seeing at the panel. So you make sure that you shout them out, collect them, because here they are sharing with this and giving you a parable for you to understand and learn from everything that's happening. And then we're going to talk about some very public issues that we know about that are in the public eye, of course. So that being said, make sure that we are pressing 1. We have a few new people. We're going to run through this and cycle through this very quickly. If you've called in or you're streaming in, make sure that you press 1. It's important. Now, when I open up for questions, what you'll hear me say, make sure that you press 1 so we can get to you straight away, or send me a message or drop it on the event page. Shout out to Tila Shao for maintaining our event page, because she does magnificent and marvelous things that make these things happen here over at Epiphany Radio. Now, get started. Of course, you know, we're about to change the music to our standard stuff that you hear in the background, of course. So we're going to ask some very important questions about toxicity. Have you been in a toxic situationship, relationship, partnership, or consistent interaction? Are you unsure if you haven't been or if you are? Have people, your family, or your work? Or are you toxic? Is it your partner or your significant other? Or somebody, a narcissist, malignant narcissist? All of these things will come to play. But let's introduce our panel right now. Hopefully you can hear everything. Hopefully you can hear me, so we're just going to make sure that comes in. I got a new headset, so I'm seeing if it works out. So brand new to the War Council in our panel is Brother Wendell. Brother Wendell, how are you, sir?
Oh, I am doing outstanding, my brother. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, thank you. Me and Wendell have sat on a panel for masculinity. He is a fantastic guy. I can set things up and he'd knock them down. Great deal of wisdom. I invited him here to be on the panel because he is a very wise brother, and he has a very unique perspective, and he's hella smart. So welcome, Wendell, to the panel, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going to leave your mic open. I'm going to open up the mic from Texas. Beauty known as Angel Kim. Miss Kim, how are you? Angel, are you there? Angel, are you there? Oh, she must be muted or away from her
phone.
I'm here.
I was trying to figure out how to mute my phone. Lord have mercy.
Oh, you know, you can't do it. Yeah, make sure you do it. So, this is not your first time to the radio, but you can introduce yourself if you like.
Hello, I'm Angel Kim from Texas, down in the central part. I don't really know what to tell y'all. I'm a co-founder of Float Your Poetry Vibes, that's on Clubhouse. And just a writer and paparazzi consultant. That's who I am.
That's what's up. I'm going to move on. I'm going to introduce one half of the Love Zone, the other half of Poetic Therapy, from my favorite John from Philly, La Perla Negra, a.k.a. Danielle. Danielle, are you there?
I'm here. Hello, everybody. Hey, Harvey.
Yo, hey, what's going on?
I gotta tell you, y'all rock. Y'all rock this one. Yep.
Y'all we try. You know, I try. I try to put forth.
Y'all killed
effort.
It. I'm trying to tell you.
I try to put forth. I try very hard.
Man.
Also, all right, so we got you. We're going to bring in our station manager, Mr. Van Meadows, back from vacation, Mr. Pineapple Calligraphy. Welcome back to the War Council, sir.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Glad to be back, man. Looking forward to tonight's show. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, that's what's up. We're going to open up the mic for Dawood. Dawood, if you'd like to say anything about yourself before we begin.
Peace and love. What's up, Van?
Hey, what's up, Dawood? How you doing, brother?
Good, brother. Hope you had a good vacation. How you doing?
Thank you.
Fantastic. If you listen to the show, you know who I am. I'm Brother Dawood. Domestic violence class facilitator and conflict and relationships expert.
Okay, definitely. All right, and then we're going to bring in from the 518, we're going to bring in artist, creative, all around, super artist, Nikki Black. Nikki Black, are you there?
In the building, what up?
All right, so... if I have not tapped your mic, it's because this panel was preset. So we will come to you when it comes time for questioning, just in case for anybody who pressed one and they're wondering why their mic is not unmuted. If you weren't having in the prior discussion, this is the panel that was already set beforehand. So please don't be offended. We will come to you at a certain point. All right. So let's get down to the meat above it. Here are the ground rules. We know that we don't argue about anything. We allow people to make their points. Please make sure that we try to keep our comments to 2 minutes or less. Even if we're making it, please be direct about your comments. One mic, one sound. Feel free to respond to each other. There will be people joining us as we go along because they're coming in late. So, you'll see Ms. Tanya Gordon, she'll show up. John Robinson will show up at some point, because they have different things that are going on. So they'll come in. So if you hear a voice come out the blue, that's them talking. But let's get down to it, all right? And this is a question I'm going to ask the panel, and I'm going to cycle through, all right? What is a toxic relationship, situationship, or partnership to you? And if you've been in one of these, what were the signs that you picked up that made you believe that you were in a toxic situation? So I'm going to go to the newest persons on the panel. I'm going to start at the top. We're going to go to Wendell. Wendell, the question.
All right. So a toxic relationship to me would be a relationship that does not facilitate or foster an environment for you and your partner or partners to be the best version of themselves and express that potential. Whenever there is activity that would serve to basically create an imbalance and a power struggle, or to exploit an existing dynamic where one person is now elevated above the other, and doing it in a self-aggrandizement type of way, as opposed to being given deference and being edified by their partner, then that has the potential to be toxic. When you can't speak your mind and you feel like you have to walk around on eggshells or hop from one foot to the next in order to avoid the landmine of your partner's explosive emotions, that is toxic. When conversations happen that tear you down as opposed to building you up, that's toxic. You are still an individual, even though you're in a relationship, and so the relationship should serve to enhance the individuals so that the individuals can come together and make a better relationship. And if that's not happening, then it's toxic.
Oh, thank you. Good way to lay the groundwork, but I expected no less. This brother is very wise, y'all. we're going to go to Angel Kim. Angel Kim, the same question.
Can you repeat the question just one more time for me?
Question, have you been in a toxic situationship, relationship, or partnership? And if so, when did you know that it was toxic?
Yes. I think for the most part, a lot of people have. But I was in one for 13 and a half years. I found out it was toxic when I realized that he was doing nothing in the relationship for me, like nothing. He didn't inspire me. He didn't support me in anything. He just drained me. Drained my happiness, drained my peace of mind, disrupted, you know, just my whole world, and made me just really get down and depressed just because of the emotional abuse that he was giving. It wasn't physical, but emotional. So that's when I realized, you know, I had to wake up and say, look, this is not who I am. I was angry all the time. I wasn't happy anymore. I didn't want to be around people anymore. That's pretty much when I just realized it.
Okay, thank you. We're going to move on to La Perla Negra. Do you need me to repeat the question, or do you have it?
You want to know how I knew I was in toxic relationship? Well, first of all, being in a manipulative relationship is controlling, and having one living in fear, believing there's no way out or any other life outside of the manipulator. I knew I was in a toxic relationship when I was no longer addressed by my name. I was being called wife. And it was pretty much downhill from there. Nothing was good enough. I was made to feel very unattractive by certain things that were said to me. I was isolated. Just a lot of anything that could go wrong did go wrong. And I was made to feel like it was just, I could never be an individual or survive on my own. And it was bad. It was bad. That's when I recognized it.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to go on to Van Meadows.
Wow. yeah, I was in quite a few toxic relationships. But I didn't really think about them being toxic until you came up with the topic for this show. And I started thinking about it. And that relationship was very emotionally and physically damaging to me, because as a man, and I was in my younger 20s, I had made every thought that I was going to be with this woman. However, she had a problem, emotionally, physically, words. She grew up with brothers, so she knew how to box. So I spent, you know, pretty much several days boxing with a woman. And I didn't like that, because that's not who I am. That's not who I am. Matter of fact, the first time I ever had to fight a woman, I was in elementary school. My mother told me that if I didn't get out there and whip her tail, then I'd have to fight her. So I took the lesser of the two evils and went out there and fought the girl. But as a man, who's supposed to be a provider, a protector, the last thing that he wants to do is fight physically and emotionally with a woman who just wants to do that. So, and I never really looked at that as toxic, because I didn't even know that that was a thing back then. You know what I mean? Like, I honestly thought that that was just normal a normal way of behavior between men and women, because I'd never seen a successful, cohesive, working relationship between a man and a woman. So I just figured that was normal. That was what we were supposed to be doing. But when my 3-year-old son woke up and saw us fighting, like we were in a boxing ring, that was the last straw for me. I had to walk away. I had to walk away because I didn't want him growing up as a child, becoming a man, seeing his mother and father fist fighting and him thinking that that's normal. So that's when I, you know, like I said, I didn't realize that those relationships were toxic. I'm only talking about one, but I've had several that were that bad. So it wasn't until you actually brought this topic up that I actually reflected on it and actually thought about it. So that's when I knew.
All right, so we're going to move to Dawood. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for all the previous comments as well. We're just setting the stage before we go, and we're going to start answering questions after we do one more round, and we're going to get into it. So, Dawood.
Okay, so question is, have you ever been in a toxic relationship, and how did you know, right? That's the question?
Mm-hmm. That is.
Okay, so... No, I'm just making sure I get it right, because I thought that originally it was what is a toxic relationship.
We could say it is, but you know, I don't. But go ahead.
Nigga. Anyway.
My bad.
So for me, a toxic relationship is a relationship that is hurting to one or more parties, because it could be a three-way relationship, it could be your whole friend circle, or it could be a two-person relationship, when it hurts one or both parties, but it's so magnetic that y'all can't get out of it. And in my judgment, generally a toxic relationship is when one of the parties is given more than the other party is. You're the one that's always saying sorry. You're the one that's always coming out of pocket. You're the one that's always holding out the olive branch. You're the one that's always going to extend yourself for the sake of the relationship, and the other side sees that, and they pull back. The more you pull forward, the more they pull back. It's like a relationship inertia, or I would say gravitation, where one party moves forward, the other parties move backwards. And to me, that's toxic because it's being fed on from two different ways. You get something out of doing for the person. They get something out of them doing for you. And it's a toxic doing, though. And so, therefore, the older you or the more you give, the less you feel good about yourself, the less you feel confident about yourself. But there's something about it that, in a sick way, you're getting from it. Because people would think that if you're giving and you're not getting back or you're being hurt, that, you know, you're not getting anything from it. But in my judgment, a lot of times, because of childhood situations, the more that we give to people who take from us and don't give back, it's almost like we're satisfying the same thing we got when we were children from either our parents or our family. And we don't even realize it because we've been conditioned that that's love and that's care and that's affection, when in reality, it's the exact opposite. And we carry these things into our relationships and friendships as we get older, and not realizing that everywhere we go, we say that we are contacting toxic people, but really it's us creating a toxic environment. And so I realized that I was in a toxic situation when everything that I tried to create with the person that I was trying to maintain the relationship with, they acted like they were going with it, but really it just allowed them to use me a little bit more for a couple of more days, a couple of more weeks, a couple of more months. And then when I would show that I was trying to break away, then it would say, no, I'm willing to work this out or whatever. And to me, that's the sum total of most toxic relationships. It's a push and a pull, because you push and then you pull. And every time you try to pull away, the other person pushes. So it's a negative kind of polarity that keeps on going, until finally there's a breakthrough. Something happens that's the last straw that you say, I'm out of here. And nobody can tell you, nobody can do that for you. You could be talking to somebody till they blue in the face, and they could be telling you how you're being used, how you getting dumped on or whatever. But you got to have that one last straw that says, okay, that I've had enough, I'm out of here. And to me, once you get out of that, as the years go by, you see how much you really was being used. That's the sum total of a toxic relationship.
Great. Most definitely. Okay, we're going to move on to Black.
I didn't realize I was in one until I was surveyed and pointed out that, yeah, you're definitely in one. And once I realized, it was difficulty getting out of that, still dealing with it. Because, I don't know, I think in a sick way, it became kind of addictive. You know what I mean? And it wasn't a relationship. It was more or less a toxic friends with benefits where the rules got violated. And I didn't know I can be in the toxic friends with benefit or AKA situationship, but hey.
Well, I mean, what was besides the survey, what was the key, what was the key element that let you know?
My hobby.
Yeah.
That was the key element.
Besides me, I'm saying for yourself, not because I basically surveyed you, but I'm saying what were the key, what were the mitigating factors that caused you to be like, oh, you know, not just because I pointed out these things to you, but what were the things that were the signs? What was the things that started that you said,
man.
Oh, absolutely. This
I mean, there was numerous. See, it was I was blind. Or, you know, I just ignored it because this went on for like 7 years. So there was violence, not on my part. There was a lot of physical violence, verbal abuse.
So you're saying there was
then
violence
was moment,
interacted
abuse.
On you. You so the other part
and blackmail.
Was violent towards you.
And blackmail. Yeah, and blackmail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to get that. I'm going to put that.
Yeah.
Just make sure everybody put that in your parking lot. We're going to return to that because he's talking about an extreme form of narcissism, malignant narcissism, and we're going to talk about that as a whole. But we're going to get back there. Go ahead, Black. I'm sorry.
No, I'm finished. You can continue.
No, I didn't want to stop you from saying that because I just wanted to make sure that we put that in the parking lot because that's going to come up because a part of that is that thing that's actually happening. And I want to make sure that we get through because we definitely have Tanya's here. Mother of Dragons also came in the room. I have not seen John yet, but I haven't looked. So hold on for a second. Let me just make sure if he's around or not. But all right, so. All right, so, do you have any other comments you want to add to that?
No, I'm good.
Okay, so I'm confused about the next one because I opened both of your mics. So 8036, you know, the six beginning with the six, is that Tanya or Mother of Dragons?
Mother of Dragons.
Okay, thank you. That's, I was like, no, everybody knows how horrible I am at reading numbers. You know, so that means the other 803, Tanya, yeah?
It's Tanya, yes.
All right, that's what I'm rocking. All right, so now we're rocking. All right, so Mother of Dragons, when, you know, have you been in a toxic situationship, relationship, interaction, partnership? And if so, how did you know that you were?
I was in a very abusive and emotionally controlling relationship for about 5 years. And the first indicator was that I couldn't talk to other men. He would be livid if he would saw me talking to other men. He wouldn't let me wear makeup. Any form of looking sexy, that was a no-no. But really, when I started knowing it, when it started going past the fit more to the, into the physical part, was it's just he one day he just out of the blue just got very angry. He snatched my phone out of my hand because he thought I was texting somebody and I wasn't. And I remember it. And then he just jumped on me and he hit me and he hit me very hard. And that I'm a fighter. I'm a person who's a fighter, but he was very strong and I could not hit him back. And I think that in itself did something to me. And I stayed in a relationship for a minute because it was more, it became toxic. It was an emotional thing because he would give me gifts. And that was his way of, I'm sorry, I'll get better. But it would never get better. And he would threaten me if I would go to the police over on him or go to the hospital on him that, you know, he would hurt me more. And finally one day I just decided that I woke up and I said, you know what, I'm not going to deal with this anymore. And I left. You know, so that, and I just very few know about this, you know, because, and I, this is my first time exposing this truth, but I did go through a very physically and emotionally abusing relationship.
I'm sorry that you went through that.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing your story with us and bringing it into this space. My context for you, you know, in the realms that we travel, no one would know how strong you actually are. And I thank you for sharing. And I thank everyone for sharing and actually offering their personal experiences up. We're going to continue and round out with Ms. Gordon. Tanya, are you there?
Yeah. I think for me, when I realized I was in a toxic relationship was when I started to decrease who I was. I dimmed my light so his could shine brighter. And I've never been that type of person. You know, I'm just like, hey, there's room for all of us to shine. But it wasn't necessarily like that. And I started to negate who I was in order to make sure that he was comfortable and he was happy.
Wow. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is our panel for this evening. And we're going to be taking questions at some point because I want you to understand that it takes a lot for us to actually be able to share and put information out for you because these people on the panel are actually sharing their experiences, their wisdom, their knowledge. And as you can tell, the toxic relationship has happened on both ends, not just for women, but also for men, physical abuse, mental abuse, cruelty, economic cruelty. The things that they're saying, if you're listening, can actually help you decide if you're in a toxic relationship or not and if you should get out. Now, please understand that this is all just conversations and anything else. There's no difference, a difference of opinion. But if you actually need help, we do have people on this panel that can help you. It is important, right? If you are in a situation where you know that these things are happening to you, you can get out and get free. Even if that person has all the money, even if that person is physically abusive, even if that person is love bombing you and gaslighting you and doing all these different things. Now, I'm going to read this real quick so that because I'm liking a lot of the stuff that I'm seeing is to being malignant and narcissist because it's hard for someone to differentiate the difference between that and something else. Like, you know, certain things are personality disorder. You know, and I've seen this before, where somebody has a grandiose fantasy, little to no empathy for people's emotions, a significant need for attention, admiration, recognition, an inflated sense of self-importance, a belief in the specialness or superiority of themselves. They have a sense of entitlement, a tendency to take advantage of others to exploit other people for personal gain, or they're arrogant or conceited, or they envy others and believe people envy them, right? That's a baseline. But here's the thing that's really important, right, is the aggression and the sadism that can happen, you know, if they're aimed at injuring or destroying something or someone, or they're trying to, you know, get to a specific goal by doing that, by smashing a window or doing something or destroying something that you really love, or aspect of aggression, you know. Now, sadism is even worse because this person enjoys hurting people, enjoys watching other people experience pain, and we're not talking about BDSM, you know, where it's sexual in nature and it heightens the fantasy. We're talking about someone who derives sexual excitement from it. Like, this is what really drives them, or spends a special amount of time fantasizing about hurting people or wanting to hurt other people as soon as they get irritated or angry. And so we heard Mother Dragons basically said that he just one day just jumped on her. She wasn't even prepared. He just did it. And we know that can happen. We know that Black spoke about being attacked, you know. So we know that a specific thing that happens is because that person wants to hurt you when they're irritated or angry. They enjoy humiliating you in public. They have tendency towards aggressive actions or behavior, or behave in controlling or dominating ways. This is the reason why we're bringing this to the forefront, because I've listened to a lot of different things, and I believe that this is a timely topic and how we see things, and we're seeing relationships. We're seeing the youngest of the young actually begin to participate in these type of relationships. So I say that to say this, that we can begin to open up the floor. People on panel, if you can, mute your mics when we go to the first question. We'll go to our first caller, which is Lady A, and we're going to, you know, ask her the question and see where she's at. So, Lady A.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Great. Well, I've been crying off and on so far. It's quite emotional for me. Toxicity.
So can you
in
tell
a
us why?
Yeah. Well,
I'm sorry,
without sounding, you know, cliche or making a long story, I knew about toxicity. I didn't know the word per se, but I knew that something was wrong when I was very, very young, as a small kid, about 5 or 6 years old, and over time. It changed me into a person who, because when you're kids, you're sworn to secrecy. Don't talk about things. Don't tell the secrets of the home. And, you know, I believed it saved my life that I was able to speak about the secrets in our house. And over my life, I have always been able to talk about those kinds of things. Sorry.
It's okay. It's
and
okay.
I have three daughters who are completely opposite of me, and I spent my whole life, and they're grown girls, making sure that I wasn't the kind of parent that my parents were, and that was really important for my life, to not be like they were, and to perpetuate the abuse. So that was really a key thing for me. Even as a very young kid, I remember saying, I'm never going to be like them. And so that was a big goal for me. But my kids, especially after I got divorced, they don't want to talk about anything. They don't want to talk about anything. And it's really caused a lot of problems for me, because I am... you know, let's talk about it. Let's fix it. Let's see where we can go. Let's get it off your chest. Let's open up to each other and heal. Because to me, when you talk and you share those kinds of things, you begin to heal yourself. And that's what helped me growing up. And I had to, at one point, estrange myself from my mother. And... because of toxicity, because even as an adult, she was so vicious and so mean, and so I had to separate myself from her for about 10 years until she got sick, and I was the only kid that was still living in the same city as she, and I was a nurse, so I was, you know, and I'm a nice person, so I felt I had to take care of her because she was sick. And I did that for 8 years, and for 8 years she was so abusive. So that part of my life affected me in a lot of ways. And, you know, the first day of nursing school, I remember sitting there thinking one parent was on one shoulder, the other was on the other shoulder, saying, and I virtually had to hold on to my seat. Because they were saying, you're too stupid for this. You can't do this. You're not smart enough. You're not intelligent. You can't pass these exams. All of these things that I believed it for a long time, and it's a big fight to unbelieve that. Anyways, that's
okay.
That's it in a nutshell. It affects
all
people.
Right.
And, yeah, so.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take two comments from the men, and I'm going to take two comments from the women to address this issue really quickly. And I'm going to start at the top. I'm going to start with the newest. But actually, I'm going to choose Wendell, and I'm going to choose Dawood, and I'm going to choose Angel Kim, and I'm going to choose Tanya. So starting with you, Wendell, how would you address this issue?
Yeah, there was definitely a lot that was going on there as I was listening. And I think the biggest thing that I would have to say is that recognizing what has happened to yourself, and then seeing the impact and the effect that it's had on, you know, on the children, is all the more reason to love yourself back to full, you know, and to really work on, really make that a focused, intense exercise, you know, for yourself, is to, because when you're in a toxic relationship, you're constantly loving yourself on reserve power, and you are depleting and depleting and depleting your love tank, your love batteries, until you completely wear out. And and that's what the offending party ultimately wants. And so when you come out of that, you know, taking the time to focus on yourself and to love yourself back up to full charge is going to help to give you the strength that you need to, you know, begin to work on the relationship with the children, the ones that they don't talk because they have seen something and experienced something that has shut them down to a place to where they don't or won't use their own voices. And that's a pattern that they may have seen in your relationship. So when you love yourself back to full charge, you are now modeling something different for them to see, and that can help them to find and use
even
their
as
voice.
Adults, because they're all adults. Three of them are all. They've got their own families and lives. Like, they're all adults, and that's the hard part. You just, you know.
Yeah, and also, I mean, you do what you can, you know, for others, but you know, you do. The best thing that you can do for someone else is to be the best you that you can be, and hopefully the impact of that example can give them a strength that maybe they didn't realize that they had. You know, definitely, that's what I would say.
Thank you.
So we're gonna move forward to Angel Kim.
I definitely agree with what you're saying. To me, it seems like you haven't healed completely. Like, you are dealing with your mother's side because you had to, but you haven't dealt with the issue at hand on what got you to that point. And you definitely have to address that before that, because you can find any healing within yourself.
Yeah, I always thought I had done that, and sometimes, like tonight, like when I'm talking about it, I realize that I'm not completely there, but see, I have four kids. I was from Target. The other three kids didn't have the same experience as I did. And and then when she died, my sister, which was about 9 years ago, my sister, I didn't go to the burial, and I had my reasons not to go to the burial after all of this. And then my sisters told me, and this is not one bit of an exaggeration, my younger sister said, you know, we don't like you, and we've never liked you. So that was brutal.
Okay, so we're going, because I want to make sure that we get everybody else, because we definitely have to answer other callers. So I'm going to have Dawood and Ms. Talia Gordon answer you, and we're going to move forward. But the thing that happens with most people in toxic or malignant, you know, narcissism, malignant people, they have a golden child, and they have a child that they, that's their problematic child that they focus on. So that definitely happened to you. But we're going to move forward to Dawood.
I think I can speak to this because I'm a child of a toxic relationship. As in, my mother and father, seriously were in a toxic relationship where my dad beat on my mom so bad that it was only after I was 40 years old that I was able to hear rumbling in the background and not my mind not think it was my dad on top of my mom. And so the three siblings.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's three siblings. There's me, there's my little sister, and my older brother. And we all process it differently. And what I would say to you is you have to give them the freedom to process it the way they want to. You cannot force them to talk about it because they have dealt with it the way that they did. And remember, they were children when it happened, so they didn't really have adult tools to deal with it. And if they had they dealt with it with children, you know, with the tools of a child, then as they grow older, they're still using the same tools. So say, for instance, one child, which would be my younger sister, was detached. They grow up and become detached as an adult. Me, myself, I was the feeler. I felt the whole thing. And as I am an adult, it has affected me positively and negatively. I feel for everybody. My other brother was angry. And he chose to, like, I literally had to block him because every time I talked about something, he would come on my post and talk about how bad my dad was. And it just got to be crazy. But the difference between me and him is, number one, I was able to write a letter to my dad and tell him everything I felt. And when I told him that, everything that I felt, to me, that was closure. Me and my dad talk like once a day, sometimes twice a day. Because I told him exactly how I felt. And there's nothing more for me to say. My older brother never got that out. And he never got that out, so he's still angry. And my older brother's nickname, his nickname is Greg, but he wants nobody to call him Greg because when my dad was on top of my mom haymaking her, she would say to him, "Greg, help," and he couldn't. And so don't know really what these children went through. And you don't know how deep the scar runs. And I had never heard that from him because all these years, like, he has an acronym, and I won't mention it on this radio show. I was like, I ain't calling that nigga that. I call him Mike. And then one day he stopped me and he said, "Don't call me that." And he told me why. You don't know what they went through and how deep these scars run. You have to just love them as much as you can and let them process it as they may. And what's happening, I think, that, you know, and I'm not trying to accuse you of this, but I think that sometimes when we, like, oh, you guys got to talk, that's going to serve you. It's not going to serve them. Let them process it the way they can and just love them as much as you can. And they know that you were a victim in the situation. They know that you were not the person that made this happen. But you got to let them process it the way that they can. And that way, they live their life the way they can, but there's nothing we can do as adults to children who went through toxic situations and learned how to process it as children. There's really nothing we can do. We got to let them work it out.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Thank you.
Right, we're gonna go to Ms. Tanya Gordon. So we're gonna close out your comment with her, and then we'll move forward. So Tanya.
Okay, Lady A, first thing I want to tell you is that
I definitely empathize with you on the situation, and I feel you, and I understand you. What I want to tell you is, right now, be selfish. And the reason I say be selfish is because the same situation pretty much occurred with me and my upbringing and my mother. And it wasn't until my mother died, you know, I tried talking to her when I was younger and things didn't go the way that I thought they would. And it wasn't until my mother passed, she passed suddenly, massive heart attack, and I never got answers to all the questions of why did I get treated this way? Why were you this type of person? And it was a whole lot of whys. I ended up with anxiety, and I used to laugh at people about anxiety. I'd be like, anxiety, child, you just need to, you know. But now I understand certain things are real. You need to focus on your healing. One of the things that I did is I first started with a counselor. I started with a counselor because I needed to talk it out. Not to somebody who was familiar with the situation, not to somebody who had experienced the same thing. I just needed a clean slate. And so I started out with a therapist. And what I eventually did was I built up the nerve to write my mother a letter. And in that letter, I wrote out everything, every single thing that I could think of. And even though she was not alive to read it, me putting it out there, me saying, I forgive you for this, because what I soon came to learn was my mother couldn't love me the way that I needed to be or we needed to be. I'll say all of my siblings, because you said a number of things. It's generational, and if you don't stop it, it's going to continue to go on. Your children are now doing it, and guess what's going to happen? Your grandchildren are going to do it if it's not addressed. Just Easter Sunday, my son, who is now 21 years old, was talking to his little cousins, who's 6 and 12, and there were some things that came up, family secrets that they don't know about, that I told my son about, because he's going to be informed, because he will not carry those things on with his family, okay? The buck has to stop somewhere. And my 21-year-old son got so frustrated with my brother, and he said to my brother, I'm sick and tired of the family secrets. I'm sick and tired of y'all playing favorites. It has had to stop. Now, when I sat back, I wanted to tell my son, sit down and be quiet, but I didn't. Because it all came to a head with a different generation. And if you're not careful, that's what's going to happen. But first, I say focus on your healing. Because you can't be an example to someone else until you are healed and whole yourself. You're not healed from it. Because the way I always tell people, you know you're healed from a situation when you can talk about it without crying. When you can talk about it without getting emotional. Then you know that you're fully healed and delivered. But you still have some healing to do. So you can't heal somebody else with this particular thing in your family until you get it yourself. So focus on yourself, Lady A. Get your stuff together so that when you're ready to talk to your children, you will be able to shine bright, showing healing, showing growth, coming in a spirit of love, and even be able to forgive your sister for the thing that she said. Because I know that hurt. I was estranged from my mother for a number of years. And my aunt said to me at her funeral, or while we were planning everything, she told a number of people, I don't know why she's here. She hadn't talked to her mama in 2 years. And I was you know what? She's right. But I had to do that for my sanity and my peace, because what I was doing wasn't working. Me trying to heal them wasn't working. So I'm going to cut it short and just say, work on your healing. Start with you. Get yourself to the place where when you do decide to sit down and talk to your family, that you're going to be able to do it without emotionality, but with clarity, with strength, and with the guidance that you need to be successful.
Oh, thank you so very much. Really. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for sharing your experience with us and allowing the War Council to see and speak.
Dope.
Yeah, that was super dope. That was super
dope.
So we're gonna move on, and I do know that I was supposed to do a station identifier. So everybody hold still, mute your mics while I play this station identifier that I'm supposed to make sure that we play, because, you know, this is one thing that we have to do it. So, all right, so hold on for a second while I play this now. Please mute your mics, and welcome to Epiphany Radio Presents War Council, Toxic, Interracial Relationships and Sex. It's For Real Entertainment Network. Promo, we'll play.
Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Peace, blessings, and one love.
Welcome back to Epiphany Radio Universe. This is War Council, Toxic. We're here with the conscious creative panel of egalitarian individuals working here. We're talking about toxic interactions, relationships, and sex here on the For Real Entertainment Network, here on all different platforms, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, CastBox, and more. We're going to go to our next caller, and then once we get through these calls, we're going to loop back over to the panel, because I have very specific questions for them, but I did not. So, hello? I know that you're streaming in, so who may I ask is speaking?
Hey, Velva. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you.
You're welcome. Is there something you'd like to share, an experience you'd like to share with the panel and have the panel weigh in on it?
Actually, I'm nervous to share part of my story, but Lady A, she knows my story, and I know hers too.
Where are you from?
I'm from California.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I eloped someone very young, because I have to. We were arranged before we were even conceived. So it's about greed. My parents don't want what they have to go out the circle, so it has to stay between the two friends, best friends. So they had this pact that whoever, if they have a girl and a boy, firstborn child, they should marry. So come to by 16, I moved out of the house, and we lived together. So the person is like 7 years older than me. And this person, my ex-husband, actually had a fiancé. And at first, we were okay. He broke up with the fiancé, and then he has to follow, because that's what we have to do. First 2 years, we were okay. We were like, we grew up together, actually. We were like friends, like having fun and going places and so on until it stopped. And then we stopped sharing one room. So we have to be separate because I don't feel comfortable around him. And he agreed to that. And time comes that I was so busy studying. I'm a nurse practitioner. And I told myself I wanted something so that, something that I can work on too, so that I don't have to be in this kind of situation. I can get out of it. And sometimes he will not come home, and sometimes I will be like a wind, and I will be bedazzled with a lot of things because I have, he needs a woman figure beside him. That way, business people will trust him, you know, because it's a charm to have someone beside you and to see that, hey, he's a family man, and maybe we can trust him with, you know, with what he is offering us. So every now and then I will be told to, we're going out and dress right and then act right because, you know. So I lived with that and the constant cheating. I would pick him up places because not to make a scene, but to let him know that I exist. And well, I started reviewing for my license. I met this person and became a best friend, and I be telling him that, you know, every night would come home and you would smell that scent, and you know, and all I wanted was respect from him. And until I get so really depressed, I started hurting myself, unable to get out of that depression and to make me feel that I exist. I want to tell my family because, you know, they value marriage very much, and I didn't want to get out of there because I didn't want to tag as divorcee because he was my first and everything. So I was scared of being labeled as, you know, that, which I was young at that time. And then I got into coma one time because I took a lot of medication. And my friend was there to help me. Well, he was helping me. I didn't ask him. I failed to ask him if he's okay. I didn't know that he was dealing the same problem, same situation, depression. But at that night, he made me promise to change because there's a lot of things for me, and I'm still young, and if this person will not change, then I don't have to be in that situation. It's my choice. And after that, I promised him that I will try my best. That very same night, he killed himself. So I was the first one who's notified. Wow. By his parent that he shot himself. So I ran to the place, and then the picture of him really still in me until now. Until now, I haven't seen the grave. Until now, for how many years?
I understand.
And,
I understand. No, I want you to finish your thoughts.
I'm out of the relationship.
I definitely want to pause. I want you to finish your thought, but I want to pause because this can be very triggering, and I want to make sure that I give a trigger warning. If you happen to leave, and I know people have been leaving and going back and forth, if this is seriously causing you issue, triggering you, doing anything that's making you feel some kind of way, please retreat. Don't allow it to set you off. Don't allow it to trigger you. Please, you know, I understand that some of the stuff that we're talking here is very, like, this is very, very, very tough for certain people here, especially if you're undergoing a similar experience. So I want to make sure, so, you know, if you need to go and then come back, please do. Just make sure that you get back before we close, because, you know, at 11 o'clock we stop streaming live and then we still have our after hours. So, you know, with certain things, if this is triggering to you, please, please remove yourself. Come back after we have the conversation with her. And that's why I just had to make sure that I said that, because definitely I know this could be a trigger warning for certain people. That's the only reason why I stopped you. But please finish your thought.
Yeah, I stayed with the person for 20 years. The divorce paper was handed to me after battling with him for 5 years, begging him to sign it. He didn't want to sign it because he said he feels like he owns me. And we're the only person actually been together for we're not really together, but he told me that I'm the only person that you know, which is actually true, because half of my life has been with him, on the north. And after that divorce, I was diagnosed with stage 0 cancer of the thyroid. And then,
could you repeat that, please?
I was diagnosed with cancer of the thyroid, stage 0, and it was starting at that time. The reason for that, because when I caught him cheating on me inside my room, I drank a bottle of alcohol, drove myself out, and then got myself in coma for 7 days or 10 days, and then I couldn't walk for 6 months because I broke my leg. And he felt so guilty about it. You know what? The thing is, I am partly okay, but the thing that got me really is I don't know how to hold on to someone who gives me something real and then assures me that this person or he can be there for me, but I don't want to believe that because I'm already in that situation. But handling my life, like until now, I'm still battling with cancer. I'm on and off the hospital, and this June will be my 4th time for chemo. But I am healed spiritually, not.
So Bella, here's what I want you to do. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Because we can't answer all of the things that you're speaking of, and I know that this is also a therapeutic measure, because the better you feel when you get things out, and sometimes you don't always have a person to talk to, but we do have people here, but we can only deal with one issue at a time. So there are several issues that you presented that I don't think that we'll be able to get through all of it, because we do have other callers. So I'm going to ask you to pick one particular issue that we can actually deal with here, and then other things we'll connect you to the proper sources in order for you to definitely be able to connect and be in a community that will actually help you to relieve and elucidate your feelings about the things that are actually happening. So what would you like us – what particular thing would you like us to – deal with on the panel?
I know how to love other people, but I don't want to be connected.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to come. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to go to Danielle Van Meadows. I'm going to ask Black, and I'm going to go to Mother of Dragons. All right, and so I'm going to go to Danielle first for her to address that particular issue. Danielle.
Okay, what was it that you said? You love other people, but you don't want to be connected?
Yes, ma'am, because I feel like with what's happened to me, I became toxic. I can become toxic to other people, and which sometimes I am, I think.
Okay, that's a step to healing yourself. You know exactly what you do and how you are towards people. And I think it's a fear thing, a fearful thing, that you don't want to fall back into a relationship and it possibly turn out toxic again, and you feel like you can't get away from that person. But all relationships are not like that. You got a lot of healing to do. You need to take some time for yourself. And you definitely need to talk to some more people about what's going on with you so you can let this surface like you're doing right now and you can start healing. Okay, you can release it before you even get back into a relationship with somebody else. Right now, it's about you. Like the lady was saying earlier, it's time for you to be selfish. I call it healthy selfishness. Okay, when you start taking time for yourself and working on what you need to within to start healing. It's okay to cry. It's okay to get it out. It's all a part of the process of getting better for yourself. And then things will start working out for you. But it's time for you to fall back and assess your situation. You already know what it is that you're doing. Now you have to learn how to release that so you can start working towards your happiness and you can be in another relationship again. It's possible to be happy again. It's possible to love freely again. But you have to get yourself together first. And like I told you earlier in box, you can talk to me anytime you want to. But, yeah, Mojave will provide you with all the information and people that you need to get in touch with to help you work towards getting better. And everything is going to be fine. Don't worry, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
We're going to move forward. We're going to go to, Van Meadows.
Absolutely. Bella, I commend you for being brave enough to share your story. But I also commend you for realizing where you are, meaning that you know that you have the potential to be toxic to someone else. And I would, just like Danielle said, I do recommend that you talk to a therapist. You know, some people think talking to a therapist means you're crazy. No, talking to someone who's a professional and knows how to help you through those kinds of feelings and emotions to get you into a better place so that you can be that person that experiences and embraces love. And I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself, because I do understand wanting to be connected to others, but not wanting to be connected to others at the same time. You know, because I believe that in somewhere along the line, we all have the ability to be toxic in some way, shape, or form. But you already know that you can be, and you don't want to be. So I definitely would encourage you to seek, you know, counsel. You said something that just brightened my day. You said that you are healed spiritually, and that is what's going to get you through. That in itself is what's going to make the difference in you not becoming toxic to someone else. But you got to be better for yourself first before you can actually be with someone else.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry. Okay, we're going to move to Mother of Dragons.
I think I can say that I probably can identify with her relationship because I too, you know, in my relationship, he had begun to see somebody while seeing me and cheating on me while he was in a relationship, I think. But, you know, the difference is that I can honestly say that you will move on and you will be with other people. You will find someone else and you will not be toxic to them. And that healing will come spiritually from the inside. And you probably need to have, I think the only difference is that, you know, for me, I had my waiting to exhale moment. You may need to have that. For some people, you have to have that. For me, I'm a Cancer. I had intuition that he was cheating on me. And when I found out, I had to cut them tires. I cut her tires. I keyed her car up. You know what I'm saying? And when I did, I got released. And when I did, that was my ending to, okay, I need to get out of this relationship. This is not good for me. And once I got that, that was my moment of clarity that I need to move on. And once I moved on, I was good after that. And later on, down the line, he eventually apologized for the things he did to me. And, you know, he almost killed me one night. You know, he almost choked me half to death. You know, laying on the floor, I had to pray to God that, you know, he would let loose because I could not breathe. And that was prior before me catching him cheating on me, but that was the build to that, because he had been going out there and he was afraid that he was going to get caught, you know. And you know, when you get these men who are narcissists, you know, they do these things to hurt you so that they don't get caught themselves. So you have to learn that it's not you, it's them, and that you will heal, and you will find somebody that will help you heal, and you may need therapy, you know, and it's okay to go and talk to somebody. It's okay for Black people to get therapy and to talk to people, and it's okay to heal and move on from that person, and it's okay
to be
in a healthy relationship. Yeah.
Okay, most definitely. And then we're going to move on to Nikki Black.
I would definitely say this is going to sound cliche, and somebody told me that, you know, things would get better for me someday, and they said someday is today. So, you know, beginning that, as soon as they said that, it was like reassuring, and I began starting that healing process immediately, because life is not promised. So I didn't want to just keep dwelling on that. And the more you dwell on misery and pain and stuff like that, the longer your body doesn't heal, the longer your mind doesn't heal. Nothing goes away. So, you know, you will eventually get over it someday. And just remember that someday starts today. And with you calling Mojave's hotline and being on here, getting all these words of encouragement, inspiration, and all this stuff right here, like, this is valuable information. And the healing begins now. And tomorrow when you wake up, you will feel much better, I guarantee you.
I am feeling much better now. Thank you. Now,
okay,
I just got tired of starting to, you know, introduction with, hey, I have cancer. So that's how I start my introduction every time I meet someone new, because I know that I think that maybe my situation right now will be toxic to people, and maybe they will not see me as beautiful inside I have, because I'm sick, you know? So that's what I fear about. Going back and forth to the hospital will be toxic to them, and then talking about them about my sickness will be toxic to them. But thank you very much, and I will find healing here.
You're welcome, Bella. You're welcome, Bella. So I'm going to put you back in the queue.
Mojave, can I say something to Bella before she leaves?
Okay, yes, go ahead.
Bella, many don't know this about me, and I'm going to share this openly right now, but I am in chronic kidney failure. So I'm on dialysis, and I need a kidney. And I remember when I found this out almost a year ago, it's been about 10 months now, I felt so unattractive. I felt like I would never, who would want me when I'm going through all of this? And the thing that you have to focus on, who shouldn't want you? When you see that you're a trooper, you're a fighter. Every day you wake up and continue to fight. Every day you look death in the eye and you say, I got this. So let that part go out. Don't identify with, I have cancer. That's who I am. That's not who you are. You're Bella, who happens to have cancer. Okay? So let that go. You continue to love on you, but you are a beautiful woman, and please don't let illness define you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That means a lot to me. I appreciate it. To love.
Thank you. Thank you, Bella. So I'm going to put you back into the queue. All right. So now I'm because of the timing, you're welcome. We're going to have to only take like one or two comments per thing. And everybody else who asks questions, because we have a list of people and I have stuff in my inbox. And some of it will probably be handled mostly over in overtime. So if we don't get to you, please stay on the line. And also know that at 11 o'clock, we stop streaming. So if you want to continue the conversation, you must call in. There's no other way to do it. We will not be streaming after that. The number is, what is the number? Wait a second. I'm like, wow. The number is 319-527-6300 here on Epiphany Radio Universe on For Real Entertainment Network. This is War Council. This is Toxic Interactions, Relationship, Sex, the whole nine. Familiar bonds, we're going to talk about it. Anything that if we don't get to you during the course of, we still stream it, but it records into the overtime. So you won't be able to like hear it in live time, but if you call in, you'll be able to still participate in the conversation. And I want to thank everybody who was pouring out. It is so important that you are actually pouring yourself into this conversation and sharing with us, because by this way, people who are listening who may not understand the situation that you happen to be in, it gives them light, it gives them love, it gives them ideas and intelligence of how to strategize and move themselves from their situation. So I want to thank everybody. This could not be done without the War Council, without this egalitarian panel of conscious creatives who are coming through and sharing their experience and giving you a bit of wisdom for a parable for you to follow. So with that being said, we're going to go over to 609, area code 609. Welcome to the War Council. Who may I say speaking?
This is Diablo. Hello?
Diablo. Hey, what's happening?
Hey.
What's good? What's good, Poppy?
What's good? What's good, Sam? Man. Listening to this has been so interesting, just based on the conversation we were having earlier, too.
Yes. Absolutely. So, do you have a situation that you'd like to share, or something that you either like to say or share with the panel and ask for opinions, or just generally share? Whatever would you like to do?
Really, I just came on to support, to hold space, to uplift, and to share. I just wanted to give a quick introduction. So I'm Diablo. My pronouns are C, Sim, they, them, repping the trans masculine non-binary community. And for me, someone who is queer identified, my story is different. Not entirely different, because, you know, narcissistic abuse definitely is very predictable, has a very definable pattern. And so my story is no different from anybody here, except the angle at which it was approached. I definitely had a period of time where who I was as a queer-identified individual, as someone who is non-cis, non-hetero, having that used against me, in order to fulfill whatever selfish whims, that part was very damaging, very toxic. and devastating in a lot of respects. That kind of betrayal most people don't get over. And I wanted to show up today to say that after having gone back and forth through a really painful court battle with my ex and the various things that went with that up to and including being homeless several times, losing my children, nearly losing all four of my children. The only thing that saved me from losing the oldest of my two is that he was not the biological father and I was the only present parent. And so they, you know, Child Protective Services called themselves working with me in order to keep them in the home. There was nothing wrong, except he was a military member, and he used his status in order to gain favor with family court. And unfortunately, family court has no language for psychological abuse. And so rather than seeing the signs, and they had a guardian ad litem present as well, but rather than seeing the signs of psychological abuse, they chose to declare it that these were two people who could not get along. And it wasn't until separating, going to the Fleet and Family Services, which is tantamount to the social services of the Navy, I had a social worker there hand me a brochure when I came in, and she asked what was wrong because I was trying to seek support for my children because he wasn't helping. I was living with my friend after having separated. And she handed me a brochure, and it was about abuse. It was about domestic violence, and asked me if any of it looked familiar. And I could check off almost everything that was there in the pamphlets, except for a couple of things under the physical abuse category. And that was when I knew it was toxic. And that, mind you, this is after being pushed down the stairs. So I very much understand that sometimes it's very difficult to recognize, especially when you're told that these kinds of behaviors are normal, or when you're told that there are certain confessions that you have to make when you're married. And
wow.
I did that. And what I wanted to share as well is that I am now dealing with the loss of my mother-in-law. Still married to him. We're not divorced yet. But I'm going to the funeral on Thursday. And for a couple of reasons, this woman had been a mother to me in ways that I needed because I did not have a present mother figure. My mother was the narcissist. So I've been estranged and no contact for a long while. And that includes the sisters that I raised growing up. Biological father absent since I was two. So there were a lot of ways in which I had to parent myself. But at that moment, I needed a mother figure, and my ex's mother was that for me. However, there was also a lot of ways in which she was toxic to me as well. But my reasons for going to this funeral are because I wanted my children to see that there is healing possible, that I have the ability to change, to grow, to evolve, to heal. Narcissists can't. They have no concept of that. And so I wanted to be able to show them that even though they have to live with their father and they know his toxicity, that there is healing present, there is healing available for them as well. And I'm able to stand in front of him right now without my usual triggers, usual flashbacks, and he actually came to me and he was very vulnerable. The other day when I returned the children after visitation, and I could see that he had been changed in some way, and I don't know what way. I won't assume, but I saw the shift. So because I see that shift, I recognize that, you know what, I need to be present in order to show my children that you can work past these things and you can heal on many levels. So I just wanted to share that tonight.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I super appreciate that. And for everybody else, I understand, you know, normally I know that when we do War Council, we do a lot of question and answer, you know, panel discussion, but I'm giving thanks for the space and the ability for people to feel free enough to share. And I want to thank everybody who came and poured into the panel, poured into this situation, began to be transparent and share themselves. There are definitely things going on. There's a lot of things I can't even, like, begin to tell you how important it is to people who are on this call, who are listening to this conversation, who are undergoing similar things or suffering similar things that are happening at this time. And, you know, we don't have to say their names. We know that they're there. We know that they're experiencing. We know that people who have experienced it are people currently undergoing it at this time. I thank everybody for sharing. And we're going to, Poppy, we're going to move forward. Unless anybody else on the panel has something to say, let's curtail the things. We still have some things to get through. We're at 10:51. If you want to continue the conversation, you have to call that number, which is 319-527-6300. Press 1 to be heard. This is What Would Happen. This is Epiphany Radio Universe, For Real Entertainment Network, War Council. Does anybody on the panel have anything that they'd like to say to Poppy? Okay, so we're going to move forward, and we're going to go to area code. Poppy, I'm going to put you back into the queue. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate you so much. My captain, I salute you. All right?
Absolutely. Love you, fam.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah, love you too. Talk to you soon.
All right,
so we're going to go to area code 506. Area code 506, who may I ask is speaking? Area code 506.
It's Lady
Hello?
A. My phone died and
back.
I called
back.
I'm appearing again.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
I'm horrible at reading numbers. Okay. I'm going to put you back in the queue. We're going to move forward into things. I'm sorry. All right. All right. So hold on. Come back later. We're going to go to area code 484. Area code 484. Who master speaking?
Yes. This is Ryan Smith. Otherwise
Who?
Known as Blaze.
Ryan
oh,
Blaze.
Smith, otherwise
hey, Blaze. What's happening, Blaze? How are you, sir?
Dealing with COVID right now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, oh, COVID man. Got me, man. So,
I'm sorry about that, brother.
My situation is numbers. I'm just here. I know you guys, some of you guys heard me. Write a piece dealing with all these mental abuses and the things that females go through with a narcissistic behavior in men and in their relationships and things of that nature. I don't know how it feels to be going through that, but I have a friend that had been going through that and still at this very point in time going through it. And so what I did was put myself in her shoes. And I wrote a piece dealing with the fear that she had to face and that she continues to face with this dude that will not leave her alone and the different abuses that she has to face. And the young lady that was just on and the, I'm not sure if the other lady was an oriental person, but just to know that they're going through these things, it is especially scary because once I put myself in their shoes and read this poem out loud, it is the most scariest thing in the world to know that you have nobody there to back you. Or maybe you do, but you're scared to even reach out to those people because you put them in a line of fire. They may end up going to jail themselves for protecting you. And then who do you have? Where do you turn? And it is really scary. It is really scary just in the mindset of going through what I had to go through in order to become my friend in her relationship. So I applaud you ladies for getting out of it, for fighting through it. And I really wish there was a way that I could help. I really do. If by chance you guys can help me help you. If there's avenues to take in order for females like you that are going through this right now, can you please reach out to me so that I can reach out to the sources that needed to be reached out to get them the help that they need? I heard the young lady said that she was...
Yeah, I understand. Blaze is definitely okay. This has been a very heavy... This has probably been one of our heaviest war councils altogether. And I thank you for coming and making sure that... Because this is very hard, because I know for a fact there are people who are listening in right at this moment that are undergoing some serious things that comprised of this experience, and they're really going through it. And I'm glad that they're here with us and they're hearing everything and people really sharing themselves. So what I'm going to do, you know, because I'm going to keep you on, right? But I'm a cycle through, and I want to make sure that I talk to the panel, because there are certain things that we're talking about, because we have to talk about also trauma bonds and toxic bonds, you know, because the one thing that we heard primarily tonight, we heard that the narcissist was people's parents. It wasn't just the person they were involved with. It was the people who your blood relations. And a lot of times that thing that happens with narcissism is what goes on, and that creates toxic things. And so even to the point where people say, I feel toxic because I can't really be with someone. You know, and the other thing is, like, what happens? You know, like, I have specific questions for specific people. So, I mean, we're going to go into overtime in about 3 minutes. So I'm just going to pause it right here and tell everybody, if you are hearing the sound of my voice, you have approximately 3 minutes to call the number 319-527-6300. If you plan on continuing the party, we will go into overtime, all right? Normally I say it's a school night, but because how everything is moving at this point, we want to make sure that we get everybody heard. We want to make sure everything comes on, and we still have questions for the panel that we haven't even gotten to, because it's been that. And so it's really been an exercise in listening and everything else, but let's make sure that we do everything else. So anybody on the panel, please wants to know how he can...
One thing before I get off. Post-traumatic slave syndrome, there's a lady by the name of Joy DeGroy. DeGroy, I think that's how she spells her name, B-E-G-R-U-Y. So that has a lot to do with the situation at hand with these people that are narcissists.
Okay. So hold on for one second, Blaze. Hold on for 1 second, because I got to make sure I set the room, everything else. We have 2 minutes. I wasn't kicking you off. I was keeping you on, just so that you know. So I really want to return to that. All right, so you're not going anywhere. And definitely, we definitely need you to get better because of the COVID, because it's real out here. But we have 60 seconds before we stop. We stop streaming live, and we go into overtime. So literally, here's what I need you to do. You know, you only got like 42 seconds. Call that number, 319-527-6300. You know, normally we're doing some things regardless. We got a lot of different things, but I want to thank everybody who was listening, who don't continue on off of the streaming platform. Please look for the playback. It'll be on the event page. Feel free. And also, on the event page, if you have topics that you want to use for War Council, please suggest them to us. We like those type of things. But you got 10 seconds, and let me cut this because it's going to get really loud in a second. And 3, 2, 1. All right, if you're within the sound of my voice, we are officially in overtime. That means you've made it. And so literally we can cut loose a little bit more, a little bit of things that are happening because we're not time, you know, fuck the FCC. No, let me not say it like that. For real, don't kill me. But we're going to get to it now. Blaze, you were saying, say, the post-traumatic slave syndrome, you were saying the book was by whom?
The young lady, her name is Joy DeCry. Let me
hold on for
see
a second.
If I pull it up.
Hold on, I got you. Okay, what you call it? This is by Dr. Joy DeGroy, DeGroy or something like that. Okay, I got it.
Okay.
I got it. So it says as a result of 12 years of quantitative and qualitative research, she developed her theory and published her findings in her book, which is a legacy of enduring injury and healing. The book addresses the residual impacts of generations of slavery and opens up the discussion of how the black community can use the strength we've gained in the past to heal in the present. So they were talking about this thing resulting in PTSS, which is the thing with post-traumatic slave syndrome, also MMAP, which is multi-generational trauma together with continued oppression, absence of opportunity to heal or access to benefit available in society, and leads to P, post-traumatic slave syndrome. Wow. This is serious. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
This is definitely good. I will share this on the page. And do you have anything else you'd like to share with the panel?
Not necessarily. I just need to make sure. I want to help so bad. I hate to hear people going through the stuff that we're hearing about. But that PTSS.
Okay.
And if there's something that I can help to minimize the damage, get these people the help that they need by reaching out to those communities, I guess, that can help females, that are willing to help females and males alike, because I have a male cousin that is going through this with a female. And he's been trying to escape this with me for like a week. And every time he changes phone number, he moves, he gets another truck. She finds some way to find out where he is. And the sick thing is, she has someone else that she's seeing. And what she does is bring this person along, finds out where my cousin is, and is sick. Has sex with this man in my cousin's truck, no matter where he moves to.
Okay, well, pause. Hold on, pause. We got to talk about this. I'm sorry, pause. All right, so I'm going to open this up for the panel to address this because this is very specific. And so anybody who would like to comment on it, please feel free to address this because I want to pause there. I know exactly what's happening, but I want the panel to actually address this. So anybody can open up unless you want me to run in order, and I can do that. What does the panel say? Hello, panel? All right, let's just start with Wendell. Wendell, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay. I was like, did something happen? Okay, so he just said literally that this woman has seen somebody else, finds his cousin, no matter how much he changes his thing or anything else like that, which, you know, lets you know that narcissists and toxic people are also, you know, it's on both sides of the sexes, and says, literally, has sex in his truck. Your opinion?
You know, people who are healthy understand the difference between and the necessity of give and take. Those who are toxic are generally just takers. And so, you know, people are going to do what they want to do, but to take that and not really give it the, you know, give that act of sex or the honor and, you know, the respect and the good treatment of the person that you're having sex with to give the act a little bit more deference and a little bit more reverence, you know? That's some wildness. I mean, toxicity. I wrote some things down here during the previous caller's call.
Okay.
And, you know, toxicity thrives in secrecy. And you know, your isolation fortifies the walls that an abuser builds around you. You know, so because then they can basically have their way with you. This very well may be a case of that. So,
okay. All right, so we're going to go to Angel Kim. What did you say? I'm sorry, what did you say, Blaise?
I just want to make sure we're understanding. Now, it's not my cousin having sex with her in his truck. It's whoever this other dude is.
No, I said your cousin having sex in your cousin's truck. No, I did say that.
Okay.
I did make sure that was clear. But I want to make sure that we get everybody through the say what they're going to say and get to it. So, Angel Kim.
Wow, that's a doozy. That person, that woman, definitely needs to seek help because it's something. It's a disconnect somewhere, but. He definitely needs to avoid playing into any kind of reality with her. Like, if he's having any kind of interaction with her, he needs to cut it off immediately. That way he doesn't draw her in even more. Can talk to her about her behavior before that. To let him know how uncomfortable it is and how he feels about it. I don't think it'll help, but maybe it will.
Well, hold on, Angel, because he said that it doesn't matter what he does or how much he changes his number. She finds a way to find him. I think that doesn't matter to her.
At that point, especially if she's locating him and having sex in his vehicle, is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
That definitely becomes a legal matter. And he's going to have to get a restraining order and press charges.
Now she has ways out, but he's been totally what we're talking about. And then she uses other people to find out information on him so that she can find out where he is again. And no matter how many times he's used the law, no matter how many times he tried to avoid her, it does not work. And he's even beat up the guy that has been terrorizing him, having sex in his truck, and he lost his job because he was a truck driver.
Okay.
So he beat the guy up.
And the law won't do anything because that's breaking into his vehicle. That's against the law.
I don't know. Like, it just... He's trying to do things God's way.
in trying to deal with things on God's terms. But outside of that,
sometimes God gives you the tools, though. Yeah, and I don't mean to cut you off, but sometimes God gives you the tools to do what you need to do. I mean, it's okay to put things in God's hands because we do it all the time, but God also gives us the tools and the knowledge to handle situations on our own.
And he's right.
Okay. All right, so I'm gonna hold on, Blaze. I'm gonna go through Danielle. Do you have a comment?
Tell you something. A toxic person, especially a narcissist, doesn't understand give and take. All they understand is take. My husband was a narcissist, and there wasn't a place that I could go that he didn't know about because he constantly had me watched. When I was home, I was like a prisoner in my own home, and he did what he wanted to do. He drove women around in his car. He had women in my bed. They just do not care. And it does take a lot for you to get away from them. It's almost impossible. It is possible, but it's hard. As far as that person doing what she wants to do and finding him, he is going to have to take it, make it a legal matter and get a restraining order, a stay-away order for her. And even then, it's not going to work because they don't understand that. They don't get it until something devastating hits them over their head. Something really, really bad has to open up their eyes in order for them to back off. And that's just the way it is. It's sad, but it's true. I know, because trust me, honey, I've been through it. I have been locked in my own room, barricaded. It's crazy. It's craziness. It's craziness. But yeah, he's gonna have to seek help, outside help.
Okay. I'm gonna go straight to Dawood.
No, I'm a pass on this one, bro.
Okay, no problem. All right, so. Because we're definitely going to go back to answering other questions. So, Blaze, this is what I'm going to tell you. Because it is a legal matter, like Angel Kim has had also, there's a stay away, no contact order. You have to understand that the person is going to do whatever they can to keep hurting this person because it's a form of power for them. That's the reason why they keep doing it. And it doesn't matter who she brings. Whoever she brings by her and keeps bringing it around because for some strange reason, doing that is an act of power for her. It's almost like I'm taking something that you love and I'm messing it up. I'm doing everything else to let you know how much power over you that I have. It is an act of power. Your cousin should understand that the problem that I see is that even if she finds him and he has a contact order, he can have her arrested on the spot. But if he allows her to come back in, and what narcissists will do, they will love bomb you. They'll gaslight you. They'll do all of these different things to get close enough to you so they can enact. They'll act a certain way. They'll be good. They'll do everything else. I know myself. Personally, like Danielle said, you know, I went through a situation where I was homeless for 4 months because my ex thought it was a thing to do because she wanted to exert power over me. And because I was like, yeah, this is not going to happen like that, she's like, well, let me make the worst happen to you. And so she would try to tempt me to do things. Like, she got a restraining order on me that was completely unjust, and I had to go to court and fight it and get it moved from my record because she basically lied on it. And the only reason that made her withdraw is the fact that I was willing to take the sword to the hilt on her because it was about my reputation. Because if I had ended up on any registry, you know, and she was the one who was hitting me. And she was the one who went out and said, hey, this person did this and lied and everything else like that. And even the police, when they came to the house, right, there were four of them. They were wearing sap gloves. I don't know if you know what sap gloves is. They're the gloves with little metal things in their hands, you know, little secrets that they have, right? But they was like, listen, you take as much time as you need, you know, because there's nothing on you. There's nothing, anything about this. And how would she know how to do this? And we read the paperwork. We looked at the things, and we decided. We knew that you weren't the threat. And then the fact that she was doing all these things, she wanted to change the locks. She would do all these different things all in one fell swoop. She's like, how does she know to do that? You know, because narcissists will always enact power and embarrass you publicly and do things to hurt your feelings and your emotions, do whatever you got. And then after a while, she was like, well, come to the house. If I came to the house, I would have been arrested immediately. If I, you know, I had to stay away from my children for 4 months. Do you know how hard it is to stay away from your children for 4 months simply because this person decided to tell a lie and treat you a certain way? And because they decided to embarrass you in public because they don't care what the consequences of repercussions is. And even in court, like the judge had to tell her in court, like literally tell her in court, like, listen, I will take your children away from you. And that was the only time she ever broke down because she literally was just doing whatever she felt that she could do. There was no consequences. There's no repercussions. Believe me, I tell you. So your cousin has to be the person to stand up, get his spine straight, and say, listen, fuck all that shit you're talking. I'm going to put your ass in jail. I'm tired of you. Stop touching my shit. And move away from that person. Because as long as they have the resources to come and find them, he's the only person who has the key to decide whether they want to let that person in or not. And the only way to solve this is by legal resources and everything else that has to happen. She has to file her cases. She has to follow up. She has to show up to court. She has to do everything. And I mean, he has to do everything in order to prevent this from occurring because they don't care. And I'm pretty sure... I'm pretty sure your cousin gets suckered in, and then she does it again. And she'll have honeymoon moments and do all this stuff, and everything will be great and wonderful and love bombing, buy him gifts, whatever. It'll happen. So we're going to move forward because we definitely have other things that we have to ask, and we have to get to it. So thank you, Blaze, for sharing with us. Please don't be a stranger. Please make sure that you come back when we do poetry as well, because I rather enjoy your poetry, sir. And we'll put you back in the queue. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate you. And post on the event page that you're willing to help and you're willing to volunteer. That'll actually get you started, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to put you back in the queue right now. You got this? All right. Now, I got three questions to get through before we end this podcast, and I got to make sure that I'm asking the proper thing. So here's the one of the things that happened with that we didn't get to, and it's a rather funny question because it's actually true, but I'm asking the panel, what is so good about toxic sex? Why do people like toxic sex? What is good about toxic sex? Have you had toxic sex? You know, and if you had it, why did you enjoy it so much, and why did you keep doing it? Why? Why did you keep having toxic sex?
Because it
was like, yo, you didn't ask my question. You didn't ask my question about toxic sex. There's somebody in my inbox right now going off. They was like, yo, Dave asked my question about the toxic sex. I want to hear about the toxic sex. I want to hear what they said. I was like, oh, goddamn. I'm going to get to it. So I'm sorry. And I know we were talking real heavy. But we do have to talk about toxic sex because that is a part of what we're supposed to. We mentioned it in the thing. So let's get started. Let's reverse the order. Let's go up from the bottom to the top. And I'm going to go with you, Dawood. Dawood, what was so good about toxic sex? And why did you keep having it? You first.
So good about I feel attacked. really?
I'm sorry.
Not fair.
I'm so, I have to obey the will of the people.
What is good about toxic sex? First of all, I have to say that toxic sex is almost the best sex you could ever have. And the reason being is that, like, real toxic sex where you know you should get rid of the person, but you can't, it's usually because they do exactly what you like them to do times 25. And so what ends up happening is they overload all your senses. And the reason why it's toxic sex is because once you come down from it and you get ready to leave and you're putting your clothes on, you immediately realize that you done bought yourself another couple of days, months, years, or whatever with this person by doing that. And so I think the reason why it's good is because it's forbidden. And anything that we have been forbidden feels extra good. You know, staying up late watching TV when our mothers told us not to, eating candy when we were supposed to, not supposed to, for breakfast, ice cream for dinner, toxic sex. All those things are in the same group. And, again, it's always amazing when you're in it, before it, definitely before it, because you just got finished telling yourself that you're going to do it, and you overrode all your morality or whatever. And in it is great, but it's terrible afterwards. It's terrible because it doesn't matter how sunny the day is. It's dark as hell outside, and it's like, you know what I'm saying? People talk to you, and nobody can snap you out of it because you know you compromise your own morals and values. So that's the bad side of it, but the good side of it, like I said, is because it's so forbidden, it just overloads all your senses, and it's like, you know, times 25. To me, that's what it is.
I'm sorry. Wow, I was muted for a second. Wow. Okay, so let's go up to Van Meadows.
Well, bro, yeah, those toxic relationships, I'm sorry. I didn't want to have sex with them. Once you brought me to that point of me realizing what was happening, what was going on, I really didn't want to deal with you anymore. And the person I was talking about at the beginning of the show, she actually tried to use that to try to get me back once I decided I was walking away. And, I just couldn't go back there because I knew what that meant. Just like Dawu said, you bought more time to something that you're trying to get
yep.
away from. And,
yep.
yeah, I just don't want to do that, you know, but it's forbidden. And usually in the level of toxicity, all your senses are amped up and that adrenaline rush. So it kind of brings out,
mm-hmm.
you know, a different side of you, which makes it worse. Nah, I'm just not doing that. I'm not doing that.
Wow. We're going to go to Danielle.
I've had toxic sex before. What makes it so good? It is insanely limitless. It's like, I think it was Dawu said earlier, they are willing to do any and everything. They will not mm-hmm. put up a fight when it comes down to that because it's part of their manipulation to hold on to you. And the relationship itself, though it's toxic, it does something to your psyche and your sex drive because it makes you feel like you are in control because they are giving you everything that you want and need as far as your sexual desires and wants. And this is what keeps you coming back. And a lot of times you don't even recognize right away after you've done something with them that, oh, shit, I got to spend more time with this person now.
Yep.
By the time you realize that, you are caught up in that bullshit again, and you're like, damn,
mm-hmm.
Why is it so good? I gotta do something to get away from this crazy fuck before I do something
mm-hmm.
to this crazy fuck. And then my life is over because I done lost control. And it's like you said,
right.
It is forbidden to have something that feels that good to you, and you know that it's wrong
mm-hmm.
for you. That is forbidden. It's what makes us sick, and this is why God wants us to stay away from it. This is why we're not supposed to be with it. So, you know, it takes a minute before you realize it. Some of them, it takes, we get it right away. I got it right away. Okay. And he followed me. He tapped out where I lived and everything. But I got away from it. And he had no choice but to leave me alone because I had some dogs to stick on it. So, you know. Yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Angel Kemp.
Again.
You said you won't do it again?
Hell no. If it's good, it's good, but it's got to be good all around. Okay? That's it.
All right, Angel
the
Kemp.
Whole relationship.
I think the problem with toxic sex is the fact that you don't really know it's toxic until it gets toxic. I've had toxic sex. why I kept going back, because hell, it was good, man. I just hated dealing with the issues after the fact and in between, but yeah, that part. But it seems to be the best sex, like, it really does. For some reason, it just really does seem to be the best sex.
Yeah, I definitely have a follow-up question for this, but we're going to move on to Wendell.
if I could inject some levity in this, if anyone is familiar with with Star Wars and the Sith, I'm a big Star Wars fan. And I, for a long time, I identified with the Sith because they were driven by their passion, dark side, wielders. And their code, the toxic sex, actually follows the progression of that code. Peace is a lie. There's only passion. And through passion, I gain strength. And through strength, I gain power. And through power, I gain victory. And through victory, my chains are broken. So... Toxic sex is rooted in passion. It can't be peaceful. Otherwise, it wouldn't be exciting, and it wouldn't be as fulfilling, at least temporarily. It's rooted in that passion, and it feels freeing. It feels liberating. It gives the illusion of an escape. And as you do it, each stroke, each kiss, each caress, each climax builds another link in the chain that you must later try to free yourself from. It's one of those things, man. It does give you the feeling of passion. It gives you the feeling of strength. It gives you the feeling of power, it gives you the feeling of victory, only to find out after you come down off of that high that you're now further entwined in the very chains of toxicity that are binding you into a bad situation, and you then have to do the work to break those chains and hopefully resist the temptation to indulge in that dark power again, so that you can actually get free.
Yeah, matter of fact, number one, I'm a 4M7 practitioner, Jedi Knights, Mace Windu. That's who I followed. And I'm mad that you know the Sith code. I was like, yo, did he just spit the Sith? I said, this man, he spit the Sith code. He just spit it real quick. I'm a 4M7 user. What up, though?
hey, Darth Bane all day, every day, brother. The rule of two.
Yo, now there's a whole. Now we got a whole. We both. This is super Star Wars nerdery going on. But here's the thing. Number one, someone said in the inbox, they said, basically, this is what they said. I'm going to repeat their question. They said, you know how you break up after an argument, even when the relationship isn't toxic. The makeup sex is always better than the daily sex. This is because of the toxic drive within the passion of sexual deliverance. And I said, exactly what Wendell said. He is hitting it on the head. And so I will say that, me being transparent, the way that my ex always got me back to interact is she used my children, and then she would fuck like a demon. The demon time was always beyond whatever. The demon time was ridiculously fucking ridiculous. Like anything that I ever thought about or wanted, it would happen in the worst way. And I'm talking about, like, you were like, oh shit, I can do this too. Even becoming a whole different person altogether, and it would always catch me off, and it would always just grab you in. And when you're emotionally tied to a person, and you have a soul tie, you're emotionally dependent. You're codependent on that person for your fix of dysfunction, because people do get codependent on dysfunction, that would be the thing. And it would fuck so many things up for me, because they would do just so many things. And it was like crazy, because I didn't know what bipolar looked like. I didn't know what narcissism looked like. I didn't know what drugs looked like. I didn't know any of these stuff. But all the stuff that comes into play, this is what people have done and what they continue to do with everything else. And the sex would be like, okay, you know, like you were like, man, this is like, you know, it was like porn. It's like, I can do anything. And the power of it was definitely serious behind that. So that being said, okay, all right, so this is a question for divorced people. Hold on, I just had the question, I just lost it because I was closing screens. This is a question for people who have been divorced, have been in long-term relationships more than 5 years, and people, you know, basically, you know, the Kurt Russell, Goldie Hawns of the world, but black folks, because, you know, people be common law and shit. When you left your relationship, did you leave it in the worst terms possible? And if you were left in worst terms, right, if you left on worst terms, what were the conditions that led to you not being able to interact or be friends with that person? That's part A. That's for the people who answer that question. Part B, if you're friends with your ex, what was the conditions or the ability that allowed you to communicate and actually be able to come to terms with the breakup and be able to function? All right? So it's two different questions. You can answer either one, you know, and we're going to close out. And the other thing is also, I understand that people want us to do a part two to this. We can. We can run everything back with the same panel, but we're going to make sure that we put the questions up, and we're going to ask people to submit questions, because if it's going to get super heavy, we're going to have to curtail the time, because, you know, we spend like a lot of time dealing with, you know, like 20, 25 minutes for, you know, and it's very hard in our segment. So I'm just going to make sure that we know that we're, you know, especially if you have something to present, please present it to us beforehand so we can actually treat it like a case and actually go through it as quickly as possible, and people can actually have enough time for all the panels to respond, because my thing is about, it's about the energy and being heard here on the War Council. So back to the questions. We're going to start from the top and go to the bottom. Real quick, I'm hoping you heard the question. Wendell, which one did you choose and which one works for you?
I'm divorced. Had a my marriage was 11 years, almost 12 years before we did divorce, and I'm in actually category B, because my former spouse and I are friends. We actually are better friends now than we were for a large portion of our time being married. And it didn't start out that way, you know, throughout the through the genesis of the divorce process. But as the process unfolded, and as we started doing work on ourselves and becoming accountable and owning the parts that we individually played in the deterioration of the marriage, that ultimately led into our relationship transitioning from one level of love to another, we decided that we would give each other the grace and the space to be who we were now, instead of trying to hold each other to who we were at the beginning of the relationship, or at varying stages of the relationship when things were good or started, you know, to turn bad. And we decided that we were going to write our own story, as opposed to falling into the pre-written and prescribed narrative that far too often plagues others, you know, who go through divorces. You know, the opposite of love doesn't have to be hate. And I can appreciate, I accepted personally, I incorporated an attitude of acceptance and appreciation for who she was and who she is. Because even though we're no longer, you know, married, we're still bonded through our children and we're still going to have a relationship for their sake. And it would serve no purpose to be punitive and pejorative when we have the lives of our children, you know, in the balance. So we came to a place where we could actually, where we decided, you know, to not succumb to the pressures of negativity, and to blaze a path less traveled between people who are divorced.
Mm-hmm. Set. All right. So now we're going to go to Angel Kim.
On and off, we had a child outside of our relationship. That was the end point for me, because even though we tried to end it 2 years after we ended it, we still kept going back for the sex. So, yeah, when I found out he had a child, that made me be like, yeah, I got to go. So what I did was I totally relocated to a whole new city and just started all the way over. That way he couldn't reach me. He couldn't find me. But I knew he wouldn't look if I went too far. So that's how I dealt with that. Where do we stand today? I don't talk to him. I don't deal with him. He did try to contact me a few months back, and I just found it funny that he was talking to me like nothing had changed. So I knew at that point he hadn't changed. So I was able to close that door and not look back on it.
Wow. Okay. Danielle.
I'm sorry, I was muted. I didn't get divorced. I chose to stay and endure the torture. We could have never been friends because he was too selfish, and he was very, he was dangerous. He was extremely dangerous. At any given time, I knew he would have literally taken my life if he couldn't get a hold of me and keep me. So I stayed.
Hmm. Okay. We're going to go to Van Meadows.
Hmm. I need the questions again, bro.
All right. So if you left your relationship and it was toxic, what was the thing that predicated it being toxic? And, you know, part is like what plays a role in you not being able to communicate with this person. Part B is if you left the relationship, what was it that made it so that you can actually be interactive, be friendly with each other, you know? So it's A is negative, B is a positive interaction. So.
Okay. So, since we talk about divorce,
Oh yeah. And I've divorced or been in a relationship 5 years or more. And, or
are we talking about
children,
marriage number one or marriage number two?
Whichever one you want to choose, or you can do both.
All right. So marriage number one, I divorced, I don't stand for cheating. Sorry. I just don't. So I divorced her. We never had any kids. We were together for 7-8 years. And I never spoke to her again until I was divorcing my second wife, because my second wife said I was a bad husband, yet she'd never been married before. So I said, how do you know what a good husband is? Now my second wife, my second ex-wife, I didn't know who she was, because she was willing to do anything, say anything to get out of the marriage, and that included messing with my freedom. So she said some words to me that has us at a non-communicative relationship at the moment, and it'll probably stay that way until my kids are 18. She said to me she hoped that she has done enough to me to make me hate her for the rest of my life. Well, yeah, you definitely did that. Yeah, yeah. In front of my kids, bro. In front of my kids. Christmas Day. So We have two kids together. I have a bonus son with her. He's not biologically mine, but he's my son. So we have a relationship that only pertains to the kids. There will be no family dinners. There will be no invites for me to come over to your house and hang out. No, none of that. I don't have time for that. You don't like me. I don't like you. And it's pretty evident. But the things that she did to me to get divorced is what makes me not like her. So no, we don't communicate. Like, a divorced couple that has kids that we're trying to raise. So and I don't really have anything positive to say about her, even as the mother of my kids. So my mother told me that if I don't have anything nice to say about someone, then don't say anything at all. So I keep it that way.
Wow. Whew. Heavy. Heavy. Dawood.
Well, this is a story that you already know, but I pride myself in having chosen children's mothers that I knew I could kind of get along with. And I don't know how to say this without sounding like I'm bragging, but I'm pretty much a good dude. So it's not hard to get along with me. And the way that I exited with style and indecency. I didn't exit in a way that was like, you know, stupid, like, you know, no, I won't say stupid, but it was like, you know, I don't know, in any way humiliating or embarrassing. I always included them in the things that I did. People would say, well, why are you doing that? Why are you including them in that? And I was like, because they were married to me. And because of that, we still have a good relationship. And so I just think that sometimes the way you exit, and I teach on this in my domestic violence class, men are really bad at exiting. We're good at entering, but we're bad at exiting. We're really bad at exiting. We can get into situations, and all of our childhood is designed to teach us how to get into things, and we call it game. But nobody teaches us how to exit and exit properly. So there's always some hard feelings, and since the court system is set up to reward hard feelings, you know what I'm saying? It just is what it is. But I think that if you exit with decency, sometimes there's a possibility, and I'm not saying not all times because there's some really terrible people out there, but there's the possibility that you can create a partnership, a friendship going forward, because if you have children with the person, you're going to need a friendship. And to be honest with you, like, my first ex is like one of my best friends. You know what I'm saying? And that was a terrible relationship at the end. But I had to forgive her for what she did. And she, you know, just recently we were talking about something, and she said to me, she said, you know, she said, I understand that I did what I did to you because I was younger. And I had a younger person's mentality. And I never thought that she would ever, you know what I'm saying, like, admit that, but she did. So to me, I just think that I've been blessed in the fact that I chose women that were amicable to work with, and the fact that I was a good guy, I wasn't really threatening the women. I didn't try to humiliate them. I didn't try to embarrass them. I didn't try to, you know what I'm saying, drag them on social media or anything craziness like that. And even when I do talk about situations that I'm out of, I just refer to them as I've grown to the point where I could move forward. You know what I'm saying? Like, because if you're out there and you're giving out your details and be like, oh, she did this, she did that, and stuff like that, and she hears what you're talking about, it's a you know, it's a snack wrap for you. Because that person got feelings.
Not the snack wrap. Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? That person got feelings, too. And you putting that business out there on social media, they're going to want to retaliate. Me, I keep everything under wraps. I keep it quiet. Not because I'm trying to hide something. I keep it quiet because I have to respect that other person. I got to respect the other person and who they are. Now, if I'm talking to somebody or I meet a new young lady and me and her is vibing, then I'll tell them about what I went through But even then, she knows better than to be running out there and say, oh, that, ooh, went through this and went through that. And if that happens, then, you know, it's going to be the black power clapback. But nevertheless, you know, the reality of it is I just think that the way you exit a situation in a lot of situations, in a lot of ways, determines going forward the relationship you have with that ex-person. And if you decide to exit with decency and order, then you could make a better life for you and them. Because we don't always, like the good brother said earlier, we don't always have to be beefing. We really don't. We don't always have to be beefing. I have not been taken in no child court. I have, you know, always given child support in order in the form of, like, dollars. I haven't asked for no receipts. Everybody said, you crazy for that. I was like, I trust them and they trust me. And I never, you know, I never had to worry about that. And I'm not, listen, I ain't beating my chest and saying I'm this great guy because I went through hell. I'm just saying that that's the one thing I got right.
Mm, wow. All right, so we have some comments from the inbox, so I'm going to read them for you one thing that was happening. So I'm not going to say your name because you didn't tell me. I had permission to say your name, but I'm going to read what she wrote me. She said, hey, the reason why people can't and won't move forward is because they are choosing to hold on to who they were in the relationship and still play the blame game instead of understanding that they just didn't work as a couple, which will continuously have a negative effect on any friendship or communication that exists between them. Once one accepts the fact of not romantically compatible, then stop trying to hurt them, get them to feel your pain or blame them, then it would be easy for them to get into a friend zone with the ex, even if it was toxic. So that was a comment that someone wanted to make and push forward. All right. And so Poppy sent her answer because she wanted to answer. She said, we're divorcing. We were together for about 11 years and became toxic when he began violating the agreements of our open marriage and becoming physically violent with me and the oldest children. I'm not friends with my ex. Since the last 6 years, he has actively worked to destroy my ties with mutual friends that we've had since high school, as well as the other things that would require legal, that as well as other things that require legal action. I communicate with him minimally and only surrounding visitations. I do not ever bring him close enough to be around me without others' presence unless at police precincts. I'm attending a funeral for me, but definitely taking measures to protect my peace. I also had to get into the space of living out loud because he had eyes everywhere, and I got tired of hiding. So I worked on strengthening myself and loving fearlessly, living fearlessly. The gentle them said this is what they had to do in order for that. And I had to make sure that I got that pronouns. I'm sorry, I messed up the pronouns, if anything. But I am not friends with my ex either. I do not try to talk to her. I do not have any conversations with her. We do not talk in any sense of the word, and I'm better for it. And it's not because I feel like she can clip me or do anything at this point in the moment, but it's just better for me to maintain my peace and my sanity for everything that happens. I literally have made my mind up to say, okay, this is not going to happen. You will forever be a part of my family. And anything regarding our children, you know, which is my first two, who are basically adults, you know, we could talk about that. But anything else is nothing. And so even to this day, I understand that the cross section comes up, especially with my daughter, because my daughter is in between the both of us. And so, you know, she does a little bit of telephone every now and again. But my life is better, much better, easier. You know, and every now and again, she'll get up and she'll do something incredibly goofy, which I still don't understand why, but it happens. But I don't seek for her to be hurt or anything else. Actually, I get a few laughs out of it. Dawood knows I laugh a lot when stuff ain't going down, and I'm dead ass wrong for it because you shouldn't be laughing at it. But I'd be like, yo, wherever you go, that's where you are. That's who you are. You know, and unless you make active changes or do anything else that's different, I don't predict anything different. But that's my take on it. But anyway, hold on, let me go through and check. Go ahead.
Hey, it's Wendell here, and I was given, you know, some more thought, and I realized that I actually went from scenario A to scenario B, and so you know, I did not always have the attitude towards my former spouse as I do now. And there was a, you know, especially at the beginning of the breakup, I hated her. I loathed and despised her because of the pain that she was causing, and I did not want anything good to happen to her because of how, you know, because of the impact of how she was moving, you know, how that input had on me, you know. And she actually started working on herself, you know, before I did. And she actually came and asked me for forgiveness, even while we were still divorcing. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to forgive her. The best that I could do was acknowledge her apology. But then as I continued doing my own personal work, I really did come to the realization that you know, having such negative thoughts and feelings towards her really wasn't hurting her. You know, it was hurting me. And so it took me a moment to come to myself and pull my head out of my own ass and realize that I could have a different level of relationship or connection with her that did not involve her, you know, being my spouse. And so, you know, doing that work really kind of helped me. But yeah, I can feel everyone else who has spoken, because although my experience may not have been to the extreme that theirs have, I can definitely relate to the emotions that factored into, you know, how they feel and how they have to move, how they feel like they have to move as it pertains to their former spouses. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of throw that in there, because it's I never want to say that I'm like, I don't want to come across as, you know, just being this, you know, super saint or anything like that, because I went through my shit as well.
No, I think everybody's been through their shit. As a matter of fact, you know, when we're talking about it, like, everybody's had their best days, they had their worst days. But what continues the fact is that as long as we're always moving towards being our better selves, you know, we can get to a comfortable place where we can actually say, you know, that's where I was and here where I am now and here's where I continue to be. Always being becoming. So, you know, I really appreciate you, you know, and this is your first time, so, you know, everybody else clap it up for Wendell being his first time on the War Council. Technically, I want to tell everybody, I was not prepared for it to get so heavy so quick. I really wasn't. So, panel, I thank you for riding the waves with me, because it got super heavy really quick, and that's a good thing, because that means the show is growing in the sense of being able for the capacity to care and to hold people's emotions, and they're coming here and expressing themselves. So I'm very thankful for that. And I'm I'm trying to make sure that not everybody gets triggered, but there was a lot. It was real heavy. So closing thoughts. So we're going to go through closing thoughts, you know, because normally, you know, usually it's a school night and I'm usually out of here, but we had to deal with everything and make sure everything else was happening. So Wendell, closing thoughts, 30 seconds, go.
Yeah, people, just, you know, give yourself the grace and the space to grow and to evolve past and through your current experiences. Give yourself the grace and the space to evolve, and then do the work to actually evolve so that you can have, you know, better outcomes for yourself as you move forward through life. So.
Dope. Super dope. All right, Angel Kim, closing thoughts, 30 seconds, go.
I think we all have to learn to love ourselves more than we love other people. And once we can do that, we can avoid some of these situations that we get ourselves into, because self-love is about love. And that's just what it is.
Okay, it was a little computery, but Okay, it's probably a blog talk. That's not supposed to happen, but we're going to move forward. Danielle?
Just understand if you are in a toxic relationship that there is a life outside of that, and you can get away from it, and you will be all right. It's okay to start over, and just forgive yourself, and that will free you, and you're going to be all right.
That's what's up. Okay, Van Meadows, 30 seconds, go.
Ladies and gentlemen, join Epiphany Radio tomorrow night for the Love Zone with your host, Miss VIP and Perla Negra. Thursday night, the Get Down, J. Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night, Breathe Easy with your host, Murder, She Wrote. Saturday night, Poetic Therapy with the Perla Negra and Standing Man Phillips. Sunday night is the Inspiration Factory, Paul Sampson, Divine Inspiration, yours truly, Poetic. Monday night, y'all, the Soul Cafe with the CEO himself, for real, the poet Douglas, author Larry Maddox, the Perla Negra, Essentially Janice, and yours truly, Van Meadows. And then join us back here next Tuesday for another fine edition of Honey Drippers, The Hidden, Four Council, Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and all that good stuff. Whatever Mojave decides to do is what he'll do. So back to you, Mojave. Great show.
Yeah. All right. But we have a very special Tuesday coming up this Tuesday. It is the Swanky Savages takeover at the Crypto Swanky, broadcasting live from Denver on 420. It's going to be a lit, literally, exercise. They're going to broadcast. They're going to get on the phones and everything, and everybody who's at the particular retreat that they're having, we're going to actually broadcast from there. So we're going to have them actually come on, call them in, and they're going to one by one come through and report and everything else like that. And I think they're going to run a live at the same time. It's going to be interesting, but it's going to be dope. You know, Swanky Savages, you know, everything on Clubhouse, mad love. Shout out to the Swankies, the Swanky ones, and Danny, who's arranging all this all together. And then the following Tuesday, we are doing Honey Drippers. It is going to be super duper dope. We're going to do some collaboration group pieces. A little bit of something different for you, you know. It makes you see the Honey Drippers in a little different light. And make sure you check us out. And after everybody gets their shirts, we're going to put those brilliantly filthy shirts up for sale for people to support the crew and everything else like that, and prepare themselves because, you know, coming up, ES Weekend, Love and Erotic Poetry Weekend, is coming up in July in Raleigh, North Carolina, 15th through the 18th. It's going to be real good. There's going to be a Honey Drippers showcase. There's going to be a regular showcase. There's going to be a sneaker ball. There's going to be an author thing. As a matter of fact, I always talk to Vanden them because, you know, I got to get all the authors together so they can sit on this panel and do everything else like that. And we talk about, you know, writing erotic poetry and selling books and all that good stuff and, you know, authorship amongst ourselves. There's going to be a bunch of things, vendors, all that good stuff. Nice, good, fun, pool party. Ah, great stuff. All right, now, going to Dawood, good brother. Closing remarks, 30 seconds, go.
Well, it was a pleasure to be on the panel with all of you brothers and sisters, and I will see y'all next week.
No, that's what's up. And also, if you like what you're hearing and everything else, make sure that you stop by the event page. Shout out to T. LaShaw for maintaining the page, for doing all the stuff that needs to be done. She posted some amazing articles. Make sure you get by and check those things out. For those people who are listening that was hearing everything that was going on, thank you for coming. We appreciate your patronage. We appreciate you coming out. It's super great. Thank you for coming to the War Council. It is an amazing thing. Thank you to everybody on the War Council. They are an amazing set of people. Ask me who it is. I believe their names are listed on the event page. Make sure that you follow them, friend them. Make sure they are pretty dope folks. Actually, they're pretty fucking dope if you ask me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, shout out to everybody else that's going on. We wish you well. We will do a part two because I see a bunch of people say, hey, this should be a part two. So you know, but we're going to tailor make it so we can actually pare it down. We can get to more of your questions and get more to people. Thank you for everybody that's come in. Thank you for everybody who stayed with us through the whole thing. And thank you to everybody who streams. And shout out to the book club that changed their day just to come rock with us. And we appreciate you. And thank you for everybody that's listened. And everybody who didn't get a chance or who weren't brave enough to speak, there'll be another time. You can always send us questions, talk through other people, and we'll present it. So thank you. here for Epiphany Radio Universe, the For Real Entertainment Network here on this. We wish you well. Good night. God bless and be great. And we'll see you next time. Good evening.
Thanks.